Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. It's time to head to Sochi for the Winter Olympics, and we've got a lot of new events to watch. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is September 10th, 2013. We're on day two of our sports article. We're talking about the Winter Olympics in 2014 in Sochi, Russia. And a lot of our listeners and readers here in Asia may not know a lot about the Winter Olympics. We're much more familiar with Summer Olympics. And a lot of people like the Summer Olympic sports, familiar with basketball and gymnastics and some track and field, even baseball. But the Winter Olympics for a lot of people are a little bit of a mystery. So that's why we have this article. Advance wants to open up a window on your world. The Olympics, the Winter Olympics might be a foreign concept, and certainly they're going to be in Russia, a far way, a far distance from where we are. So we also want to just introduce this place. A lot of people don't even know about Sochi, Russia, that part of the world, the Black Sea. So we're trying to introduce some new concepts for you to consider. Joining me here in the studio are my panelists from yesterday, Nathaniel Dunn and Liz Liu. Hi, panelists.
Hello,
Bill.
Great to have you back for day two of this article. And before we get into our reading for today, let's maybe pick out one or two things from yesterday.
Well, first of all, Russia is famous for sending out great, powerful, strong, intimidating teams. And yet, interestingly enough, they've never really had a chance to host until now. But of all places in Russia, it's a place that, as we read yesterday, it's quite comfortable, as in, like, it doesn't snow there.
Yeah, it's the strangest thing, because it's, you would think of Russia, they've had strong teams, as Liz said. It's a cold place in many places. Mm-hmm. But we normally don't think of Russia as being subtropical.
No, we don't. And yet, Russia is a huge area. So part of Russia includes places that are subtropical, and that's where Sochi is. There are palm trees, yes, ironically.
Yeah.
And the word we talked about yesterday was there's this incongruity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do we define that word?
Basically, it's just not matching. It's just bizarre.
Yeah. Two different things brought together. And you might say, huh, what? Well, you can look there at the map on page 19. Just get an idea where Sochi is. And it's just there north of Turkey. And so it's in a really unique part of the world, too, that they have never had the Winter Olympics in that part of the world. Also, Nathaniel, thought from yesterday.
Well, I think another big point that was made was that Winter Olympics have had troubles with weather in the past. It's just something you have to deal with. Some sports, like bobsledding, they might have more possibility to control the track and control the temperature, that type of thing, while other sports, like skiing, are a little more dependent on what the weather ends up doing.
Yeah, we did talk about that. They have built a very sophisticated refrigerated track in Sochi to it's ice. That's what it is. And so they can control that. So they don't have to worry too much about that with the bobsled and the luge and the skeleton. But several Olympics in the past have had trouble with skiing because it's just not cold enough sometimes. Mm-hmm. It turns into ice, right?
And that becomes very dangerous.
Yes. In fact, I used to ski a lot when I was back in America. And the skiers, we all love that nice, fluffy white powder. But if it is ice, it becomes extremely dangerous, to the point of where the skiers, the Olympic athletes, can not only tear up a knee or an ankle, but they actually can kill themselves. So that's how dangerous it can be if the weather is bad because they are going so fast down the slopes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why weather is such a big concern. Well, before we get into our reading today, let's take a look at our sidebars there on page 19. And we see Sochi.ru 2014. and focus on Sochi. What's that first paragraph say, Nathaniel?
From February 7th to 23rd, 2014, this modern ski resort along the Black Sea will be the site for the Winter Games, the first time the Russian Federation will have hosted the Winter Olympics.
Okay, now we've got a couple of bullet points there regarding the host city, Liz.
Right. We're talking about Greater Sochi, so not just downtown Sochi, but just the whole area there. Mm-hmm. It stretches 90 miles or 145 kilometers along the Black Sea coast, and it's close to the Caucasus Mountains.
All right. And then it's a 19th century Russian fort.
The city has been transformed into a popular tourist spot with a population of about 340,000 people, I guess largely because of this attraction that they have there, this old fort.
Well, it's interesting. It stretches along the coast a long way, but it's not a real big city population-wise. So it doesn't sound crowded. It sounds actually rather pleasant. I mean, if you want to go there for a nice summer vacation, it sounds great.
Right.
All right. Now, we learn about these clusters for the games, Liz.
Right. They've organized it into these clusters or groups or categories. So we have here the coastal cluster, and there for the ice events. And then we have the mountain cluster nearby in the mountains for skiing sports.
Okay. All right. Ice events might be, for instance, speed skating and then also, of course, figure skating and hockey. They can build these arenas right there, right in the city. It doesn't really matter where they are. And the last one, what about getting between these places?
It says about 30 minutes of travel time are required between the clusters, and some events are only accessible by rail, by some kind of train, maybe a subway system.
Mm. Okay. All right. So there's a little bit of background information on Sochi. There looks like to be about 3,000 athletes there, total of 98 medal events. And we've got a bunch of new events, which we are going to talk about today. So let's have our first reading. It'll be that right column on page 19.
The 12 new events. The new events will be the biathlon mixed relay, figure skating team event, men's and women's half pipe and slope style freestyle skiing, luge team relay, women's ski jumping, men's and women's slope style and parallel slalom snowboarding. Will NHL players be in Sochi? There were 30 Russians on NHL rosters when this season began on January 19. It is a big moment for them to play in the home Olympics. Will Shawnee Davis become the first men's long track skater to win gold in 3 Olympics? He certainly could win a third straight at 1,000 meters. Although he is 30 and began this winter dealing with injury for the first time in his career, Davis has 2 firsts and 2 seconds in 6 World Cup 1000s this season.
Okay, there are a lot of new events here at the Winter Olympics, the 12 new events. Well, that's what we ask about here in this first section.
Right, we have this long list here, biathlon mixed relay, and biathlon means 2 kinds of activities put together. And then we have figure skating team events. That's interesting because we know figure skating, but now it's a team thing going on. Then we have halfpipe and slope-style freestyle skiing. That's a mouthful, Bill.
Okay, this is going to be – first off, let's cover a couple of these things. It's all new for a lot of our listeners.
Yes.
First, biathlon in the Winter Olympics is actually cross-country skiing and rifle shooting. So imagine people cross-country skiing through the woods, and on their back, they've got a rifle slung over their back. They have to stop at different stations. They actually lay down on the ground – and they actually shoot at targets, and their overall score is a combination of how fast they can cross-country ski and also the targets,
how accurate
they are at shooting targets. Mm. Right. So that's how they determine the winner in that. The men's and women's half-pipe and slope-style freestyle skiing, I think that involves snowboarding, just the one ski, not 2 skis.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we get into some other ones, Nathaniel.
Right, the luge team relay, women's ski jumping, men's and women's slope style, and parallel slalom snowboarding.
All right, luge.
Yeah, luge is something where it's an individual kind of race where you're lying down on your back, kind of steering with your feet. I think you can also call what you are riding on a luge as well.
Yeah, so they also are going to be using that bobsled track, going down ice. These guys are flying.
Mm-hmm.
One person, just feet first, and they can go almost also up to 100 miles per hour. Very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
So, all right, then we see a few others there, Liz.
Right, women's ski jumping. Okay, I think we can kind of figure that one out.
Yeah.
You have skis and you're jumping.
I'll be honest with you, I'm totally surprised we haven't had women ski jumping before.
Yeah.
I know.
It seems strange.
Very, very. But it's about time then.
Yeah.
And I think we could say that the ski jumping is not like repeatedly jumping. It's really one big jump for the most part.
Right. Where they come down that big slope and they go flying through the air.
Yeah.
All right. And what else?
Then we have men's and women's slope style and parallel slalom snowboarding. Another mouthful.
Okay. And again, we've got people just on the one board there. And in fact, we can see a picture on page 18 of somebody snowboarding right there. They're flying up through the air. There's a lot of acrobatics that are involved with this. Flips. Mm-hmm. Twist, and actually, it's not a lot of the snowboarding is not about speed. Some of it is about speed and relay racing, but so much of it is about the acrobatics that they can do, going over jumps and doing flips and things like that. Okay, now we have a question, Liz. What's our question? I know you like this question.
The next question is: will NHL players be in Sochi?
Yeah,
basically. Will the guys who normally play for National Hockey League, will they be able to join in this event?
Do you know the answer?
Well, we see here, there were 30 Russians on NHL rosters when this season began, and it is a big moment because they get to come home and play.
All right. Big moment for the Russian players, for them to be able to finally play in their homeland. Russia has always had an incredibly strong hockey team. And also Canada is very strong in hockey. And the latest I've got on this is that, yes, the NHL, actually the National Hockey League in North America, will have, again, a stoppage in play for a couple of weeks. So that means the players from all the countries will be able to play for the national teams.
That's nice.
Which actually it makes the quality of the play a lot better.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And there are some great teams. I mentioned Russia and Canada, but also teams like the Czech Republic is an excellent hockey team. And also the Swedes and the Finns are also very good teams. And there are players from all over the world in the NHL, so they need to take a break for 2 weeks. Last question in this reading.
Yeah, will Shani Davis become the first men's long track skater to win gold in three Olympics? I think another way we can say long track skater is speed skater. It's a kind of racing kind of skating.
Yeah, we see a picture of a speed skater right there on page 18, right at the bottom. So trying to go around the track as fast as possible. And says here he certainly could win a third straight 1,000 meters gold medal. In fact, he did win the gold medal in 1,000 meters in Vancouver in 2010 and in Turin, Italy in 2006. Also won silver in a 1,500 in both of those Olympics. So now they're wondering, can he add a third gold medal, become the third or the first person to win three of these medals, three golds, so in the 1,000 meters. So he's getting old.
That's right, 30.
Oh, my goodness, he's so old.
Yeah, well, in the world of sports, 30 is considered a little up there.
Yeah, all right. So as a speed skater, yes, it is. You know, he's getting older.
And he has had to deal with injuries.
Yeah, so there's one significant point about Shani Davis, which is actually, you know, kind of a unique point, is that in 2006, when he did win his gold medal in Turin, he actually became the first black athlete to win a gold medal in the Winter Olympics. So he hails from Chicago, speed skater. So he's actually, you know, quite unique in his sport. So, Okay, let's move on to page 20 for our final reading of this article.
Evan Lysacek, the reigning men's figure skating champion, has not competed since the 2010 Olympics. Injuries twice forced him to scrub planned comeback events this season. If healthy, Lysacek easily could make a third Olympic team. Which looks like the best U.S. comeback story? Alpine skier Bodie Miller, 35, 5 Olympic medals, plans to try for a fifth Olympics after taking this season off. Skeleton racer Noelle Pikus-Pace, 30, missed competing in 2006 after a freak accident, retired after a fourth place in 2010, had a second child, returned last November, and won a silver medal at Worlds last month. Will Keikon Randall, most decorated cross-country skier in U.S. history, finally win an Olympic medal? Good omen. She got out of a sickbed to win all three of her sprint races in the recent World Cup event on the Sochi course. All that glitters. No athlete with the family name Gold ever has been in the Olympics, but the United States could have two next year. Figure skater Gracie and snowboarder Ariel.
Bill Quinn, Liz Liu, and Nathaniel Dunn here. We are on our final section of our sports article covering the Winter Olympics 2014 in Sochi, Russia. And we are talking about some of the new sports, the new events in this Winter Olympics, this edition. And also we're learning about some of the special athletes that will be there. And our reading here on page 20, we start with Evan Lysacek, right, Nathaniel?
That's right. He's the reigning men's figure skating champion, and he has not competed since the 2010 Olympics. So people are wondering, is he going to turn up, or how are things going to go for him this time around?
Okay, he actually did win the gold medal in Vancouver, but he's actually suffered some injuries that have forced him to do what, Liz?
To scrub his plans. And to scrub, normally we think about like scrubbing as in you're doing your dishes, when you're rubbing very hard on something to clean something, but here it just means to cancel.
Yep. Okay. We have the scrub the plans, or a lot of times, like when I remember NASA, when they're shooting the space shuttle up, the weather's bad, they have to scrub the flight.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
to
right.
Cancel plans. All right, Evan Lysacek, he is looking forward to making his third Olympic team. And what's our next question?
We have here, which looks like the best U.S. comeback story, that is.
Okay. All right. So comeback. What's a comeback story?
Comeback basically means perhaps your main character wasn't doing well, but had a chance and things turned around and suddenly they turned for the better.
Yeah. Okay. Well, a lot of athletes, they are successful, then maybe they have some difficulty, and then they're going to try and come back. So we're looking to who might be able to come back. And who do we meet first?
Well, it's alpine skier Bodie Miller, who's 35, and he already has 5 Olympic medals, but he's planning to try for a fifth Olympics after taking this past season off.
Okay. 35.
Wow, even older.
Wow. I would also think one of the big comeback stories not mentioned in this article, speaking of skiing, is the American female skier, Lindsey Vonn. And she actually has won some medals for the U.S., actually a very popular skier, well-known. But she, in the World Championship competition earlier this year, actually had a horrible accident, blew out her knee, tore like some ligaments in her knee. She was like favored to win gold in Sochi. You can imagine. And she actually had a terrible accident and tore her ligaments. And by the time she gets to Sochi, she will have undergone a year of rehabilitation. She plans on being there, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
That's really hard to overcome. So we continue. We move off of skiing into a whole different sport here in our next sentence, Liz.
Skeleton. Normally, we think of skeleton as what we learned in health class, your bone structure.
Yeah.
But here we're talking about the sport, and it's a one-person winter sport. Again, a very fast one. And you are lying face down, and you're going at a very, very fast speed. And we're talking about here Noelle Pikus Pace, who's also 30.
Okay. All right. Now, there's a skeleton right below that paragraph. Kind of looks like a sled almost that we might ride down a hill back when we were younger. So it's, again, they take place on the bobsled track, very fast, extremely dangerous. In fact, in Vancouver during a practice session, one of the skeleton riders was killed.
Mm.
Yeah, I can't remember which country, but it's a dangerous, dangerous sport. Now, she's trying to make a comeback.
Yes.
Noelle Pikus Pace.
Right.
Come back from what?
Yeah, it was in 2006 that she missed competing in because she had a freak accident. And then she retired after she got fourth place, and that was in 2010. Then she got her second child, so she got pregnant, had her baby, and now she's coming back.
All right. She's had a lot going on.
Yes.
Right. A couple of children, and then actually has also had this freak injury. I looked it up as far as her freak injury, what it was. I was like, I was curious. Like, well, did she hurt herself also? Her and a couple of other people, they were training in Calgary back in 2006, and they were standing at the bottom of the bobsled track, and another team was practicing the bobsled, and they lost their brakes, and they came through and ran into her, broke her leg.
Oh, no.
She wasn't even participating. She was standing around, and that was the freak accident. I thought, you got to be kidding.
Right.
Here's this elite athlete training, trying to make the Olympics, just standing there.
Right.
And a bobsled ran into her.
Right. Well, that's why we call it a freak accident.
Right.
When something is just bizarre, it's strange, you can't explain it, it just happens to you. Some people say it's just the worst of luck.
Bad luck.
Yes.
Yeah, really bad luck. Okay. All right, what's our next question?
Our next question here has an interesting name, Kaiken Randall. Most decorated cross-country skier in U.S. history. Will he finally win an Olympic medal?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, this question, cross-country skiing has not been a strong sport for the United States. A lot of the Nordic countries do extremely well in this. Sweden, Finland, and Norway, and some of the other European countries do well. United States hasn't done well. Now, she might be their best chance for a medal, and that's how we start out this reading.
That's right. It's interesting because she's known as being the most decorated cross-country skier. So when someone's most decorated, that means not because of the kind of clothing they're wearing, but because of their achievements. They've won a lot of awards and medals. But interestingly enough, we see here, will she be able to finally win an Olympic medal? Well, good omen, as we see here. And an omen is basically a good sign for the future to come. She got out of sick bed to win all three of her sprint races. So far, she's been able to win various other meets already.
Okay. All right. That's a good omen. So far, so good. And she's elevated her game, we might say. She's been able to win and, best of all, win on the Sochi course.
Mm-hmm.
So she's familiar with it and has done well. And what is the last question?
Well, it's kind of a strange one. It says, all that glitters, the full phrase that we sometimes use or idiom that we use in English is, all that glitters is not gold. Not everything is as good as it seems at first.
Yep. Okay. And this is kind of a funny little section.
That's right, because we're not really talking about gold as in the metal, the precious metal, but we're actually talking about people with the last name Gold here.
Okay. And I didn't know this. Did you know this?
No, I had no idea. No athlete with the family name Gold ever has been in the Olympics. But the United States could have two next year.
Okay, so they could have two athletes in there with the name Gold, and they are figure skater Gracie Gold and snowboarder Ariel Gold. And just to get in the Olympics would be one accomplishment. I was kind of curious, could gold win gold?
Right.
I mean, and I was wondering, might they actually have a chance?
Some people might feel a little superstitious about it. They may feel that, because my last name or because something about my name or something about my life is related to gold, I might have a chance to get gold.
Well, there are some people also named Silver.
That's true.
Right? Now, I wonder if there's ever been an Olympic athlete named Silver who's won silver.
Oh, possible. Dear. It's possible.
I've never heard of anybody named Bronze, but I do know Silvers. All right. Well, this has been very interesting to learn about these Olympics in Sochi, Russia. And if you have found it helpful, if you've got other questions about it, why don't you do this? You can go to our website and ask some questions, leave some comments. In fact, Naomi's going to tell you about that right now.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for listening to Advanced. If you have any questions about today's program or any previous program, just go to our website, www.studioclassroom.com, and you have a couple of options available. First, you can join a discussion with other Advanced listeners by going to the English Corner. It's a great way to meet some other members of our audience, leave comments, and give us your ideas for the show. If you want to write a note to the Advanced team or have a question, just go to letters@studioclassroom.com and we'll do our best to help out. We always look forward to hearing from you, our listeners and readers, and we appreciate your input.
Okay, well, I think my favorite Winter Olympic sport is, I do like the bobsled and the luge and the skeleton. I like these people flying down this track. I'm just amazed at their speed and their bravery. Mm. I just can't believe somebody would get on a skeleton or a luge and go 100 miles per hour. So what about you, Nathaniel? Any favorite Winter Olympic sport?
Well, in my family, my sister and my mother in particular really like to watch figure skating, which sometimes I find entertaining. Yeah. But I am interested to see this figure skating team event. I do want to see what that will look like. That might be quite interesting to watch.
Okay. Well, I know Liz will be tuning into the hockey
games. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So Liz always enjoys that. Now, I hope you enjoyed this, listeners. Thanks for being here with us. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill.
Liz.
And Nathaniel.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.